everybody. What's going on? Rob Sestrino back to talk about more 90 Day Fiancé Season 8. Here we are after episode number 12. It's the first day of March. Getting ready to talk about this latest week's offering of 90 Day Fiancé with a man who I just got done playing Match Game with this weekend, Mr. 90 Day Fiancé. Here he is, the guy who got the cameo from Brandon last week. It's Puya Zanvakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm feeling truly blessed, Rob. The cameo changed my life, as it should have. And I'm on a different trajectory. I just want to let you know how important this podcast is to me. I took a 4-hour bus ride. I took a boat. And now I'm here on the island that is this podcast, ready yes. to talk about all the things.
Boy,
I'm very excited.
You must be tired. But you should go take a shower. And let's go have drinks and dinner.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, that okay. sounds like a good arrangement.
Yes. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. I'm doing very well. 90 days still firing on all cylinders. It was a very fun episode. I think we got a little bit of everybody. And I'm very keen to talk about this because I feel like we're at the point of the timeline in the season that I'm getting a lot of parallels to my situation from this past year.
Yes.
So I'm excited to talk about it. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. I'm very curious. That's a very interesting setup there, a tease.
Oh, yeah. Draw people in. That's what I do.
Bring okay. That's good. Of course, this weekend, Puya joined us on the Match Game on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Stephen Fishback took on Akiva, and we got to play the Match Game, and that was very fun. Puya was the captain of the panel.
Thank you. It means a lot. It meant a lot. I went first. I had one or two good ones, I feel like. And you know, hopefully sometime in the future, I can battle for who's the best Rob co-host, who's Rob's favorite.
Because yeah.
it was fun seeing the two of them throw down for the
yeah,
title.
Who gave that to Akiva?
I don't know. He's self-appointed. I really do think so. He was like, listen.
He gave himself that title.
Best.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Puya, very excited to talk 90 Day Fiancé with you. Of course, if you like the podcast, you can subscribe. Be sure to leave us some star ratings and feedback over at robiswebsite.com/90DayFiancé. All right, Puya, I would really love to get started talking about Tariq and Hazel. This is
Boy, you hot sauce, hella hot sauce.
Hot
yes,
sauce.
Sure.
So much hot sauce with Tariq and Hazel. And I do not really understand what is going on here with Tariq and Hazel, because there is no scenario that makes any sense of why on earth did Minty get back in the picture.
It literally felt like Tariq bent over backwards to find a way to bring her back into their lives again. I not only do I not recommend you trying to ask somebody, hey, what do you think our compliment each other? That's not a dating coach, but also your ex. Who goes to their ex and goes, hey, can you fill out this feedback exit interview of like where we went wrong with you and how you can help us find a better you? I feel like that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it was wild. I have a conspiracy theory on this. And again, I don't know a lot about the behind the scenes. That I feel like that this is more your area of expertise with 90 Day Fiancé. The only thing that makes any sense to me is there has to be a producer who's like, hey, why don't you guys call Minty? I don't know. Like, they're locked down because of COVID. There's nothing that they can do. There's nothing going on here. There is only one pressure point in this entire relationship. They have gotten like the least screen time out of any couple outside of Andrew and Amira, who have not even been in the same place at any point. There has to have been a producer who's saying to them like, hey, what do we call Minty? Oh, that's a good idea.
So I love that this has become a weekly segment with us of like, are they stupid or are they being convinced by producers to do this? Because I could see it go both ways. Tariq reeks of someone who would have an idiotic thought like this. But also, I do think they probably have inception specialists in the producer team who are just able to subtly make them do something that is not good for them, but it's good TV. I mean, this is their bread and butter. So it's definitely possible. It could be either way. I personally lean towards the Tariq side of things because it just like the man just does not scream smart to me. I think that he's had many a mistake in the past. And this is just one of those other things where I do think he genuinely thought this was a good suggestion. And it clearly wasn't. And here's the worst part, Rob. I don't think this was the worst thing he said this episode. I think he said something, he's done something way worse in this episode, which we'll get to when we talk about their profiles and stuff.
Well, here's why I think that maybe the producers were involved. Because at one point, you know, Hazel is like, absolutely no way, let's not call Minty. And then it seems like that she has a turn of like, well, maybe this could be a test for, like, she's going to, like, Zoom Temptation Island with Tariq, which is, I guess, the safest way to experience Temptation Island is on Zoom.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, and, like, this, the whole Zoom of it all, it is fascinating to me, especially with hate. I don't feel like they translate as good. I feel like they'd be faring far better in person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they're on this website, and you know, we talked about this website that they were on some time back, and I think you had mentioned how many profiles there are of women that were looking to join a couple. And I felt like that sounds high. That sounds high for me. That anecdotally, it seems like that is rare to find you know, people that are like, hey, I'm looking to join like a third party. I'm looking to be the plus one to on somebody else's thing. And I thought that sounded high. Tariq reports back that no, he's looked at most of the accounts on this site are catfish.
Yeah, he's learned how to reverse Google search, which works for images, which is great. But it's fascinating to me because that kind of action makes me feel like Tariq is a lot more into it than they're probably letting us know. Because I think a lot of the show is like, hey, this is Hazel's MO, Tariq's in for the ride. But you got to be committed if you're like looking over 60, 70 profiles and reverse searching everything to figure out who's a catfish and who's not, right?
You would think so. Yeah, you would think so. But Tariq is putting in the work. And again, they're locked down, you know? I'm not sure exactly what Tariq's day job is. Not sure if he is just looking on the website all day.
It's very possible because they're not planning the wedding, right? It's like, it feels like the wedding's at a standstill at this point.
Yeah.
So it's just more free time to be on the website.
More free time. Too many catfishes are on the website. That Tariq refers to one person as a super catfish. I think that my son has found this in Animal Crossing. I think he's like, Dad, look, I got a super catfish.
Those are rare, and they go for a lot of bells.
So that's good. Yeah, Tom Nook is going to be pumped up about that if you get a super catfish.
I feel like that's not a game Tariq could play well. I don't think Tariq's more of a, to me, like a button masher type guy. I feel like Smash Bros, he might be faring better there. Animal Crossing, not his jam. But apparently he's the super catfish detective. Yeah. So we can have
him. He'd be like, what if we go visit Minty's Island? What do you think?
I heard the turnip prices are good over at Minty's Island. We should check it out.
Okay.
Make a profit.
So Tariq says, what if we holler at Minty? What if we could get Minty to help? And Hazel just completely changes up. Like, hey, why don't we make food? Which is usually, that's not a good sign, right? If you ask somebody something and they answer with a completely different question.
I mean, listen, I'm not many times in a day where I'm going to be like, nah, I'm good on food. I'll be like, what do you think? Are you thinking something like, were you takeout? I mean, I'm down for suggestions. But in this instance, when she went to the fridge and pulled out chicken that was in foil, I was like, this is not worth the changing of the subject. Like, I would definitely do what Tariq did and like, hey, look, can we talk about this more? But if you're Hazel, why not? Because this literally is on the heels of him like finding something, because like, it's very clear. So Hazel has made it very clear that as far as her preferences goes, she wants someone of a different ethnicity to herself. And it's very clear that Tariq wants someone within that ethnicity. Specifically, Tariq, we have heard, the first intro we got to Tariq this season, Tariq loves Thailand. TNT, Tariq and Thailand go hand in hand. And she doesn't want that. And so for him not only to go back to that and then go specifically back to talking about their ex, I don't know how he thought this was going to be a successful move. She made the right call. Cold chicken over this conversation for her, for sure.
Well, Puya, what do you think? Does Tariq want to get the band back together? Does he want to put this trio back together with, okay, let's bring Minty in. Is that possible? Or let me give you another theory that does Tariq feel like, hey, if I could get Hazel and Minty to patch things up, if Hazel doesn't have this undying hate for Minty, maybe this could open the door back up for other Thai women.
Ah, so it's not necessarily Minty he wants. He wants the long-term preference change, potentially.
If he could turn Hazel around on Minty, maybe Hazel would view prospective Thai women differently.
I mean, listen, that's a great plan, and it's a smart plan, but he does not have the mode of operations to pull that off. He doesn't. he just does not. He is not built that way. So if that's his plan, it's a smart one. But I don't know. I don't think he could. I do think that that is probably what he wants, because it's very clear that every time he's trying to bring up a suggestion, it's opposite of what she wants. But also, it could be that he just maybe has residual feelings for Minty and wants to keep in touch with her, you know, as a friendship, or just as, I don't know what the MO would be there, but he needs her blessing to do that. And maybe his idea is that if we talk and we ask for advice and they're civil, then maybe that opens the door for that. Or maybe I'll be less in the doghouse for having messaged her roguely in the beginning anyways.
I don't know, because we're going to find out that Tariq is messaging her way more than he's let on in the episodes. Let's get to Minty on the Skype call. And then that Minty also joined Hazel on 90 Day Bears All, which we could also get into. So they get Minty on the line, and instantly, so much side eye from Hazel.
Yeah, the best part was Tariq was like, "You're going to play civil, right? You're going to be good." And she was like, "Yeah, I'll try." And once the call went on, she gave no tries. She threw that out the window. All the hate came soaring back in. If I was in that room, I would have wanted to evaporate. It was very, very awkward between the two of them, but I felt like it was mostly coming from Hazel, and then Minty did not cut corners in trying to like push that further.
Yeah, Minty has nothing to lose.
No. Like, she's literally
like, Minty. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just got it. She can only gain in this situation, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, so Tariq is like, so what do you think we need to do? And, you know, Minty isn't playing. You're not looking for the same thing.
Yeah, no. Minty knows what she's doing. Minty's very smart, very sly. She brings herself up at one point, says, "Why not me? Like, what's wrong with me?" And I was like, this is not the lane you need to go to, Minty. But, I mean, Minty in her confessional in the middle of all that, Rob, says, she doesn't like Hazel's attitude, and she says that her and Tariq would be together if Hazel wasn't in the picture and wasn't engaged, which I was like, yikes.
Yeah. So do you think that maybe Minty is like, hey, what if I break up Tariq and Hazel, and then if this doesn't work out, that could be me. I could be on 90 Day Season 9.
Like, is it the lucrative rapping career? Like, I don't understand, what's the draw to Tariq? Like, he seems nice. But like, I guess she hasn't seen the mess in his apartment. That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure, like, this is a lot of tug of war over one Tariq, which to me is just wild.
Yeah. I mean, Minty has a thing for Tariq, and Tariq also seems to like Minty. Yeah, unfortunately, they can't make it work with Hazel. And then Hazel, she goes back to saying, like, this isn't my idea. This is Tariq's idea.
Yeah, which I don't buy. I mean, here's the panic that should settle in. It's May 2020. We got the time thing. It's May 2020. It's 21 days to, like, getting married. They're 3 weeks away from the visa expiring. How are they not already done that? It is just terrifying how close they're calling this, and then now they bring in the Minty wrench. Like, this just seems doomed to fail based on the actions.
Yeah,
it's very worrisome.
Yeah. And Minty is saying, look, if you want to find a girl in the future, you won't ever find somebody like me.
Yeah. But what about me, though? Have you thought about giving me another shot? This is what I talk about, but it's her being sly. Genuinely, this to me reeks of, I can see Hazel's pissed. Let me throw a wrench in there further. Let me, like, make him realize that, hey, I'm the calm one and Hazel's just flying off the handle.
Yeah.
And I think it was working. It was a very successful move.
So Minty basically says, hey, call me back anytime. This was great. you want to talk about Minty and Hazel on 90 Day Bears All?
Let's, because that was the only thing we really got from 90 Day Bears All for this season specifically. Yeah.
Can I just say that also Discovery Plus needs to do something about their layout. First of all, like, I can't get it to work on my Apple TV. I don't know where I go to complain. So I have to watch it on the computer. And it's so hard to get, like, the navigation is brutal to find anything.
There's no continue watching like other streaming platforms have. Like, I could literally, any other platform I open, it'll show me what I was watching last. I have to scroll all the way down to find recommended for you, which, why isn't that at least the top thing? And to find Bears All, it's stupid. I 100% agree.
Very hard to find. I was watching a 90 Day Bears All from 4 weeks ago before I realized that it was the wrong one. I was watching the one where we saw Rebecca was on and they were watching a package about Ryan. I'm like, this is really weird that they're showing a Ryan package right now. After everything that went on, they're showing like footage of Ryan. And Rebecca's like, yeah, I do not think that he is right for, like, yeah, no duh. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? This is episode 4 and I need to be watching episode 8 of 90 Day Bears All.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you made the swap, because I do think there's some interesting tidbits here. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Tommy's tidbits, of course, mm-hmm. with regards to Minty and Hazel.
Yeah. All right. So they start with Hazel. Hazel is on Skype with Sean.
Yes. Yeah. So Hazel's on with Sean. And I did you feel like Sean was kind of forcing her to say this was more Tariq's idea than yours? Like, I felt like she kept pushing Hazel into that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, she was like, but really, tell us the truth. Whose idea was this? Like, you know, was it yours or was it Tariq's? And then she was like under duress. It was like, she was just like, well, it was Tariq's. She said, oh, so he does want it. I was like, well, I want it to. Like, you know, I think she seems like that. I don't doubt that this is, I mean, definitely the Minty thing is all coming from Tariq. But I mean, she has said multiple times on the show that she wants a girlfriend.
Yeah, no, there's no world where this isn't a mutual decision. I think Hazel 100% wants a girlfriend in the mix, just as much as I think, if anything, all I know now is I think Tariq wants it more than we were being told, really, is where I'm coming from with this.
And then Sean is like, so, oh, well, what if Tariq wanted to bring in another guy? And Hazel's like, no, I don't want that. And Sean's like, oh, well, why not? Well, that's not what they want. Okay.
Yeah, Sean.
Yeah, Sean. The like, you didn't question. Get the, there was no Sean's choice on this.
No. I love, Sean is fascinating to me because I do think she's getting better at hosting these things, but she used to be the tell-all person. Mm-hmm. And that was like once at the end of the season. And it just felt so awkward. It might have been an editing thing, but this made me feel uncomfortable. Her trying to push some of these ideas onto Hazel. I was like, it's clear Hazel wants what she wants. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, you don't need to be pushing it any further.
Okay. So they are going to talk with Minty, and this gets rough. Hazel is going to be crying.
Yeah, I mean, they showed her a video package that just does not, no one wants to really see, because I think it just made all her like worst nightmares come true in one go, where we find out in this, Minty says in the package that she thinks Hazel's beautiful, but then says Hazel's a liar. And then she thinks that Hazel lies about liking women. And then she says that she's not attracted to Hazel sexually, and then says that she still has feelings for Tariq, that Tariq messaged her when the coronavirus started popping up, and they've been chatting every day since the coronavirus has been going on. So that is significantly more than what we heard, which was I hollered at Minty to check up on her. It's like
every day,
right? Like, what you wearing, what you eating, like, you're like really involved.
Yeah. All right, so let's bring Minty into this Zoom call. No Tariq. And so now, like, we're getting into, like, well, did Tariq want this more than Hazel did? You know, we're still exploring that. That Minty asked Hazel if she sent sexy pics to Tariq.
Yeah. It's
according to Hazel.
That was confusing. Yeah. So I think what Hazel was implying here was that Minty was trying to figure out, hey, how can I get closer to Tariq? Like, should I send
him? You must have sent him sexy pictures, because why did he pick you?
Yeah. What was the deal? What put you ahead of me? I need to know. I want to level up with you. And I don't think that like kind of came across to Sean, because she was like, oh, so you sent sexy pictures? Like, no, that's not what I was saying here. That's not the case. No one sent any photos. It's hypothetical.
Yeah.
If anything, out of the three of them, I think Tariq's the one sending sexy pics. I got to say, like, he seems, it seems more up his alley than the other two is what I'm trying to say here.
I just felt so bad for Hazel. Like, why? Like, why did she have, is she contractually obligated to do these interviews? Like, why does she have to keep talking to Minty?
I don't know. It is very mean because it's clearly something that she's insecure about in this relationship. And they just,
she hates this woman.
In. Yeah. And I can see why now, the way she talks about, because before it was like, oh, Tariq, like, just, you know, Tariq has a thing for Thai women and like he met Minty. But it's very clear with how Minty is responding to Tariq that there is a lot more than just like a basic level feelings for each other. There is more. Like, she actively will take mm-hmm. Tariq the minute they break up. Like, there, and that's no joke.
Yeah.
So, and like, it's, if you find out someone like that is talking to your partner, you will feel some type of way about it, guaranteed, if you know their motives are in the wrong place.
Yeah, like, I can't imagine like being in this scenario where like, all right, Rob, we're gonna bring in on Zoom, here's a guy who has the hots for your wife, and he's like, hey Rob, I can't wait to steal Nicole from you. I'm like, hey, I don't want to talk to you, like, yeah. Go away, sir. I don't want any of this.
No, like, last thing I need is for you to sit there and be like, yeah, so like, you know, like, well, what's the ETA on your expiration here? Like, mm-hmm. when can I cut in? Like, get out of here, sir. That's not happening today. Okay.
Yeah. And why am I here? I don't want to be on this call.
Like, no, not enough. Listen, not enough money for me to sit there and have that conversation. It's just going to be aggravating mm-hmm. and irritating. So kudos to Hazel for doing it. I would assume she's contractually obligated, because I feel like no one would do that sitting down. Yeah. And she literally did it sitting down.
But like, if you're Tariq and they say, Hazel comes in and is like, hey, Tariq, I just got off the phone with the producers of 90 Days Bears All. They want me to go on. They're going to do a segment. And let's say, like, blindside her with the Minty thing of like, hey, they want to do a segment on me. Like, oh, that's great. But once they say, yeah, and they're going to patch in Minty, and they can say, you know what? Let's pass on this one.
Well, actually, a couple of weeks ago, it might have been on the very same episode you watched or the one after, something like that. But they had Ryan. They were talking to Ryan, and then they're like, "All right, we're gonna bring your cousin Harris mm-hmm. on," and he left. He was like, "I don't want any part of this." Tariq did the same thing in the first episode when they brought in his brother Dean. He was like, "I don't want any part of this," and he left. Well, he went off camera, but he was still there. But I believe Ryan left completely. He was nowhere to be seen for that interview. So
yeah,
I feel like they have the choice. Maybe Hazel was not privy to the choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
you know, it's sort of like the old days of like Jerry Springer, where it's like, all right, well, let's bring out the person that was cheating. And then like you get, and then they would like get in a fight on the stage. But like when you're on Zoom, like, I think it's very easy to say like, all right, I'm disconnecting.
Yeah. I mean, disconnecting, you can change your Zoom background to like just be a photo of you and leave the screen. Like, there's so many things you could be doing there.
Yeah.
That I feel like she could have to get away from it. But it happened. It happened. And I feel for her. I really do feel for her. And I hope that, you know, I hope that the next scenes we see with her are more peaceful than this, because
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still think that they are focusing on getting a girlfriend before getting married when this visa is on the line is a lot. But let's see what happens.
Yeah, I just feel like overall, there's nothing going on with Tariq and Hazel. And I just feel like that the producers are trying to gin this up as much as they can with Minty just to have something to show us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have nothing else going on. It doesn't seem like when the wedding happens, I think that's the next big interesting thing from them. Because let me see real quick, what is their next time on here? So their next time on is...
Were they in the next time on?
Yeah, Hazel doesn't trust Tariq. Like, the whole thing is like it's going to be about this Minty stuff. So like, Minty literally is saving their lives on the show with appearances. Mm-hmm. At least.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully the producers send Minty a check. Puya.
Yes.
I would like to talk about Brandon and Julia.
Yes, please. It's been a while coming.
It's been a minute for Brandon and Julia. And we got to see Brandon and Julia after all of the drama from what was going on with, is Julia pregnant? We got to go dress shopping. Say yes to the dress.
Yeah. Or if you're Brandon, say,
say, to the dress. Say meh to the dress.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so can we address this? Someone asked, I put a question thread up earlier. Someone asked this.
Okay.
Betty is making a lasagna in the first scene here.
Yeah.
Did you notice the new ingredient in this lasagna that was tomatoes?
Did she put tomatoes in the lasagna?
She put sliced tomatoes in the lasagna as a layer.
That's wild. So sliced tomatoes, not even like, you know, chopped tomatoes.
Didn't look like it. It was not chopped. It looked sliced to me.
That's wild. I did not notice that. I did notice that the lasagna itself did look pretty ratchet. I'm looking at it on the screen and it did not look good.
No, I was like, it didn't look, it didn't have edges. I'm a big, like, the, you know, give me the curved crust. I like that. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me of the, was it Tesla that released the car that was like a whole rectangle and like pointy edges? It gave me that vibe. And
like the
it
truck.
Just didn't. Yeah. I don't know what it was about it. It just did not look great. Was not a fan of this lasagna. And I like most.
I can't imagine Betty is not a master of Italian cuisine.
I know. When I see Betty, I think Mamma Mia, delicious.
Betty,
definitely.
All right. If you're listening, we know we get cameos from Brandon, so we're part of the family now. I've got a hot tip for you. I know a guy. He does a Zoom cooking school on Saturday nights. You give this man $30. He will teach you fine Italian cooking. Okay? DM me if you want the link.
We got the hookup for you. We got the hookup for you. Yeah, that's definitely well worth. Okay, well worth.
Zoom cooking school. I'm telling you, you'll love it. Okay, so we are gonna talk about the timeline here because, like, hey, we want to get Julia wants to get married in the church, but we gotta like get moving on it. Brandon's like, well, you know, what's the rush? Because you know they're not gonna just like kick us out. You know, there was the whole thing with COVID. You know, they're not going to be like hard and fast with this 90-day deadline, right?
No, I mean, oh man, this whole deadline thing is bothersome to me because like with them, it's very clear that Brandon of the two, shocker, is the one that's like, we'll be fine. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not surprised by any of it. And obviously, Ron and Betty are the two that are clearly like, no, like you need to think about these things, think them through. So, and this came up a couple of times this episode, so I'll speak on it. This was exactly where Liana and I fell into the whole equation. So when I moved, and we're about like 3 weeks away from my 1 year now that I moved. When I moved abruptly because I had to move a week early because the borders were about to shut down. So instead of Liana driving up to pick me up, I had to get a one-way ticket 2 days from when I was going
to
leave.
Did you consider going to Serbia?
It crossed my mind. But I had the small concern that Amira's dad would not approve of it.
Yeah, so he wouldn't talk to you anymore.
So I was like, I don't want to lose contact with Hamdi. Yeah. So I didn't do that. So then I had to fly over and like just get in right before the border shut like the next day. But then once I moved here, obviously we didn't have a full 90. So what they don't tell you is that your 90 days starts from like the approval date, so like from the date of your medical going through. So it's not like a full block of 90 days from the minute you land in the States. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. So when I landed, we had about I'm wrong. The visa is different. My mistake. When you land, you have 90 days. However, when I landed, everything starts turning like City Hall and New Haven shut down. So we had to quickly attack and figure out what we're doing because the whole reason I moved was because if I don't get through, that border shuts down, my visa ends in August. I can't move anywhere till August. I'm not going to have a shot of traveling over. And then when I moved here, we had to speed up the wedding and everything because we couldn't do any plans. It was kind of like, let's sign the papers. Let's make sure I can stay here long term. Mm-hmm. And then we can figure that stuff out later. So then to watch them have this similar conversation, this episode, them and other couples, it was very fascinating because I especially love like the Brandons and the Rebeccas of like I would like to take my time and say, well, you might not have that shot because we got lucky that there was a city next door that still had City Hall open. But even then, Rob, we got married like in the greens outside. The person who officiated was wearing tennis shoes. Like this was And like, she was rocking like, you know, like the nurse's pants, like just like the, I don't know, like they didn't, like they weren't formal wear or anything. So like, it was like, you had to do what you had to do to like make sure everything was done before everything shut down on you. And like, it's unfortunate. It's unlucky times, but you know, sometimes you got to just like swallow sadness to have a prolonged happiness.
Yeah,
that's right. That's the thing I made up.
And we were all robbed because it would have been one hell of a festivity.
Oh yeah, definitely. The Zambakilis, the Borises, they put on a party. Let me tell you. Yeah, that's what we're known for.
Yeah.
So that would've been fun.
That one day, do you think you'll do something something bigger, or this is we're way into Puya personal territory?
I mean, listen, I will always open up on these things with you, Rob. I think that both of us were already going to be okay with something small scale. Because like for me, well, up until the latest, you know, presidency and everything, the travel ban was a big thing for people of my nationality. So my parents, no way that my family could not make it here for that. So it would have always been something smaller. I think Leon also wanted something smaller. It still would have been like at least like maybe like 10, 15 people at best, but that's still something, right? So definitely down the line, maybe, but I feel like the longer it gets, maybe we're just not going to do anything at that point, but we'll see. Maybe like an anniversary, like certain party at some point would be the move.
Maybe we could tack a Live Know-It-Alls on it too.
Hey, that'd be a great destination anniversary party. Yeah. It's like, listen, come for the love, stay for the analysis of tribal. It'd be a good time.
All right. So we have dinner conversation going on. And so there's a little bit of talk of coronavirus here. And it's fitting that we are, you know, in the 1 year anniversary of when all of this is happening. And so let's see if Betty Fauci and Ron really have their finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world.
Hopefully, within about 30 days, things will be better.
Yeah, I think everything will be okay in a while.
Okay. I think next.
Yeah, about 30 days. Let's see. Yeah. I'm trying to do the math and see if they nailed it or not. I'd take 30 days from now.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
That'd be swell if we could get 30 days from now.
What is a while to them? What is a while? Is that because like one of them said 30, the other said a while. And that could be good depending on what your answer is. A while, like a year, 2 years, 2 days, a month. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was so funny seeing they're like, you know, they're cautiously optimistic. Like, yeah, this will be done in a week. Just have two aspirins a day and you're fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, all right. They want to have a big wedding. Julie wants to get married at the church. Brandon has not taken her to see the church at all. She would like to do that. They're gonna go look at wedding dresses also. And you know, I feel for Julia, because a lot of times like Betty will say something and Julia will just yell out, Brandon, how do you say do not want? Like she just like
yeah, her yelling out Brandon is like Hazel's you want to eat? Like that's her conversation changer. And bless her heart, but like Brandon's the worst person to try and get anything out of. Like you can't get two sentences out of this man. He doesn't pick up anything.
Wait, what is wrong with this idiot? With all due respect to our friend of the podcast, Brandon, what is wrong with him? Why does this guy have no poker face? He's not even good at faking it. I get it. You don't want to go look at the dresses, but he can't even like muster up the enthusiasm. Like, oh, wow.
Like it's not
fine.
Like that's okay. It's not like he's got a phone in front of him. It's not like he's distracted. He's literally sitting there and like, how hard is it to say, oh my God, wow, you look beautiful. You believe these things, right? You believe that your partner is beautiful. Say them. You don't have to necessarily speak on the thing itself. Yeah, it's nutso with him. I did not understand. I love that he was like, yeah, Betty, don't make any comments. Don't say anything. Keep those ideas to yourself, which I was like, oh, well done. But you shouldn't be following those two, Brandon. Your opinions were why you were invited to the shindig.
And Betty is like so obvious to read of that. She's like talking about like what do you think, Brandon? Do you like the form-fitting one, or do you like the princess? It's like flowing, and he's like, stop it. Don't, do not say anything. Do not say anything to her. What am I doing?
Have you ever been in a position, have you ever been Bettied where someone just invited themselves to something the way she did? Because
like a podcast?
Maybe. I don't know, Rob. I mean, I want a tail.
I think that's happened. Certainly, I have a mom. I had a mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. These things do happen. You know, this is very political. This whole situation of from family stories. You know, this is who gets the invite, who doesn't get the invite. Did an aunt get an invite and this person didn't get an invite? Oh, why did she get to go? Who got to pick what's going to go on at the shower? You know, a lot of times, these family affairs can be very political. I am fortunate that I have other things that occupy most of my brain power that I feel like anything that's involved with my family is I do not care who is involved or who is invited or who gets told this, whatever, that just let me know.
Yeah, no. I mean, in my head, if I was ever to have any kind of ceremony that's supposed to be a big one, I genuinely would have to pass the guest list over mm-hmm. to my mom. Be like, hey, I don't even remember half of these family members. You need to facilitate this. It always fascinates me how much my parents knew people and this relative, this person was mm-hmm. my cousin and this is their aunt and their kids. And I'm like, oh, and we're going to their house. Cool. I don't know anybody here. So that's funny.
Yeah.
I, one case, Rob, where someone invited themselves, I will never forget this. This was last year. The year prior, because at this point it would have been in Canada. Me and a bunch of my coworkers were going to go out for sushi. All you can eat sushi. Ooh. Good times after work. Good vibes. I wasn't working that day. So I just went to work to pick people up and then we're going to Uber together. And this one girl that none of us were really friends with just saw us getting ready to leave, walked out with us. And then my Uber came in. I sat in the front because it's my Uber. And then I look back to talk with my friends and she's in the Uber. I was like, I'm sorry. What is this? And then we get to the destination. I hold back one of my friends. I'm like, hey, did anyone tell her she's invited? And they're like, no, she just walked out with us and mm-hmm. got in. I was like, that's very ballsy.
She's living her best life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Living on the edge, really. Because it would have been so awkward if anyone was like, wait, what are you doing here? I'm like, no one's going to do that. But I just thought.
You could invite me three times. I'd be like, do you really want me? Are you sure? Are you sure you want me? You're just being nice, right? You don't really want me there, right? But to be, I wish I had that where I'm just bringing myself to things that I'm not even invited to.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable either in those situations. Like when I get invited to things that other people, oh, my friend's party, you want to come along? Mm-hmm. Are they cool with other people there? Am I allowed? Will I be fine? Mm-hmm. I don't want to inconvenience anybody, but no, I will never forget that.
All right, so yeah. I'm a little also puzzled about COVID protocols, the 90-day fiance. Mm-hmm. Nothing makes sense. There is COVID, but then we just walk into the mask into the dress shop, and then nobody there has a mask. Here is the woman Caitlin who works in the dress shop. Nobody, no mask anywhere. Whatever. I've given up.
Yeah, it's March.
Trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. This is where I feel like...
I guess it's pre-mask time. Yeah.
The first month, I feel like it wasn't that big. I feel there was a mask.
Some people are further along in the timeline than others. So I guess they're just sort of I guess it's kosher. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a big teeter-totter where I even lose the plot. I forget that, in March, I remember not seeing many people rocking the mask. Some people were rocking a bandana. Mm-hmm. They didn't have masks because of the shortage. And then by May, everyone had them.
I think somebody did have a mask around their neck. And that's why I brought it up. But anyway, all right, let's bring out the dresses. And Julia, she tries on the first dress. She loves it. Betty doesn't like it. She tries on another one. And then it's really hard to get a read on what Brandon is saying. We patch in Julia's mom, Elena. Mm-hmm.
Mama Julia is in the room now. Mm-hmm. It was very, so this was like the most redeeming Brandon I've seen in a minute, where I was like, oh, he's clearly picked up a little bit of Russian. He's speaking to her. I did appreciate that. I love that. She was happy. She seemed to like the second dress better. So it was kind of like a Goldilocks situation where, the first dress was Julia's favorite. The second dress was the mom's favorite. And then the third one was Brandon's choice, but you could never figure that out by the way Brandon speaks, because Brandon responded the same way about all three, even though he had more feelings about the last one.
Yeah, that the closest he gets to describing anything that she asks him, what do you like better? He's like, it's like the coupe versus the sedan. Well, which dress was the sedan?
Yeah. And how are they even close to you? Or like, you're like, I could go with either.
Yeah,
like,
which one is the four-door family vehicle?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I had the choice between a Lamborghini and a minivan. And I was like, either. Like, No, you're picking the Lamborghini. Don't even lie to yourself. The other shock to me was him, Betty, and Julia live in the same flipping farm. How did she, why did they not carpool that day? Mm-hmm. Like, how did she beat them there? Like, I don't get that.
I'm not sure. When they did pull up, they said, oh, Betty's already here. She's like, maybe we go to a different store.
I love Julia so much.
She's good. And but then she's like, really just reads Brandon. She's like, see, I knew this. I knew this is what you do. Like, oh, this is fine. This is fine. This is fine. This is what you do, Brandon.
It's so funny because I think that it's literally with them two, I feel like they would be the worst people to have dinner with, or like watch them.
Yeah.
If you had a camera and watch them order food, it would be a nightmare, because he just doesn't seem like he's ever going to give you an opinion straight.
Yeah.
Ever.
The only time we ever saw this guy excited is when he's talking about Puya as the nipple king. Where's that enthusiasm? Bring that to the wedding dress search.
I feel like he's closer to marrying me than he is Julia, based on the appeal from that cameo.
Puya! Yeah, where's that? Bring that energy, Brandon.
Yeah, I don't. Why am I? I mean, I'm worthy of that kind of energy.
You can muster it up for Puya's birthday. You're getting out balloons. You're throwing them in the air. Bring that to the dress shopping. You can do it. You have it in you.
It's not, Rob, the best part is it's not a tall order. Mm-hmm. Like, all we're asking him is to be enthusiastic, seeing his soon-to-be wife in a wedding dress that she looks beautiful in. Like, say these words. Words of affirmation are important. And I don't understand how he didn't have them. I don't. Maybe, like, no. Like, even, like, there's no, like, conversation of, he maybe felt uncomfortable in front of Betty. No one's asking him to use, like, extra language. But, like, I feel like he could have still said stuff. Because I don't understand the move of, like, hey, Betty, you be quiet, but I'll also be quiet, so that it's very awkward. Like, I don't get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Brandon and Julia, though, Puya, do you feel like has the well maybe run dry with Brandon and Julia? Like, what is going to be their major drama? Like, we sort of like had like, oh, they can't sleep in the same room. Okay, they're having problems with Ron and Betty at the farm. Okay, so I mean, are they moving out at this point? Are they getting their own place? Like, we had the pregnancy scare. I don't know what's left for Brandon and Julia.
It's fascinating because I do feel like, if you charted everyone's like our interest level in everyone, they're starting to flatline a little bit. And I think that now a lot of the focus is going to, after this wedding thing and the next time on being Julia and Brandon at the church, I think it's going to be a lot of, Brandon doesn't seem to be giving her the same affection that he used to. What's up with that? What's the deal? Because given the fact that I think the biggest excitement for me, and I think for you as well, was the Julia versus Ron and Betty, that's kind of come to a head at this point. And unless we get more in that department, it's kind of ho-hum. But I'm going to maintain positivity with them because I need it for my sanity and I need it for my enjoyment. So hopefully they bring it back somehow. But I got to say, there might be like hitting second place or third place at this point based on how much exposure they're getting on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else, Brandon and Julia?
Not that I can see that we haven't covered already. It's just very clear to me that Brandon is an airhead and will continue to be. So hopefully we just get better sound drops next time.
Mm-hmm. We're coming right back with Pooya to talk about Andrew and Amira. But first, let me take a moment to thank a sponsor for the podcast. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you are having trouble meeting your goals or difficulty with relationships, like so many of the couples that we talk about here on 90 Day Fiancé, trouble sleeping, I frequently could check off that box, feeling stressed or depressed. BetterHelp is available. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and can help. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs, and BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You could start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is secure online professional counseling. BetterHelp counselors have a broad range of expertise, which may not be available in your area. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send unlimited messages to your counselor. They'll get you timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and everything that you share is confidential. Plus, you won't have to ever sit in an awkward waiting room. Again, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Rob as a podcast listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/RJP. Visit BetterHelp.com/RJP to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. And before we get back to the show, I need to thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And let's talk about Andrew and Amira. Should we talk about Andrew and Amira?
Let's just get them out of the way. Let's do that.
Yeah. Okay. We got Amira's dad back in the mix, and Amira goes and visits dad. It had been a layoff since he was last on the show, and she basically says that you know, her plan is to go live with Andrew, and Amira wants to go have her go to Serbia, and Amira's dad is like, bad plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amira's dad wants nothing to do with this. Hamdi back on the... I loved Hamdi. She comes in and he's like, how's the job search been? She's like, I'm not looking for no job. I'm trying to go to Serbia. He is pretty much... He pretty much said, if you go, I'm done with you. It's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. And he says, Serbia is not a respecter of human rights. There's mafia there. I did not do the research before we came on the podcast to be able. I'm gonna trust it to that Hamdi. He looked this up.
Yep. I just Googled it now. Mm-hmm. Don't love what I'm seeing. So definitely there's more. Because before he said the human rights thing, when he just said there's mafia there, that reminded me of my dad. I remember I was like 16, 17. I was like, hey, dad, can I go out with my friends? Like, yeah, where are you going? I was like, we're going to this place. They have bowling. They have billiards. And he was like, billiards? That's where all like the bad kids go. Don't go there. And I was like, what does he think it is? And then I realized that he thinks it's like a pool bar from like the 70s, where like all the rough around the edges characters are at. I was like, that's not the case. So the mafia line gave me that vibe, but I definitely think that Hamdi is a little bit more, you know, doing his research and realizing that this is not might not be a great
place
for him.
And not like the fun Jordan Kalish mafia.
What can compare to that? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No such thing.
All right. Yeah. Don't go there. That you must not sacrifice for Andrew. He won't sacrifice anything for you. And Amira does get into like, he did stay at the vacation resort the whole time.
I loved every line from Hamdi of like, he's a coward. He's a selfish, like don't care for him. He never did anything. I mean, fair. This is very fair. We saw this. I mean, I love that they talked about like he didn't even bother to go to the city you were in. He just stayed in the city he was in. And he knows. Hamdi knows exactly what's going on here. But it's very shocking because I do think that Amira is under this Andrew spell for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. This master manipulator Andrew has this control on her, which is just so sad to see.
Yeah. I think that it's not so much Andrew. I think that Amira just is like under the spell of like, hey, this I'm bored here. My new life is going to be, you know, like once we get to, you know, America, like we'll figure it out. That'll be exciting. You know, but, you know, she even said like back in the first episode, she's like, I just don't fit in here.
No, I forgot about that. You're right. She did not. She doesn't vibe with her city. She has said that she feels like she's more fitting to America. I do think that later in the conversation, we get a little bit more insight as to whether or not she's feeling hot about the Serbia plan. But I do think that Father Hamdi definitely planted some good seeds here of like, hey, don't do this. Otherwise, I will not talk to you anymore.
Yeah. She's does not seem that excited about the Serbia plan.
No. If I literally was detained and then had to like was sent out of a country, my immediate reaction wouldn't be, let me try that again. That might be maybe a different country. We'll see how that like I would not play roulette like that. I'd be like, no, I'm kind of scarred. I don't want to get involved with this. So definitely don't see the appeal there.
So we then get Andrew later on in the episode. Andrew is on Zoom with Amira and he's like, hey, babe, look at this coffee mug I got. And it was just a picture of his. Did she give him this coffee mug? I don't know what the context was.
I think so, because like there was some French writing on it that I can only assume was from her. Otherwise, it might have been a mug he got her and got French saying on that he just couldn't send or couldn't give her at the trip. And was like, hey, look, look, it's the thing I made for you. But
Puya, if you're giving Liana a gift, is the move your face on it or her face on it?
I would say my face. I feel like if her face is on it and she gets, she's like, well, I have a mirror. I can just look at myself. Like, I don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's the move because, I mean, my face is beautiful. And if I'm giving her this mug and I'm like, hey, take that to work, make sure everyone sees it, then that makes sense. But I would never drink out of I've worn stuff that has like a artwork of me on it. But like I bought that for myself. No one bought that for me. That would be very weird.
Yeah, I feel like that the move is that, you know, get the couple picture on the coffee mug as opposed to feel like it's odd to see Andrew drinking out of the Andrew coffee mug.
And like, can I just say it's not the best picture of Andrew? It's like a weird like selfie taken off of like a Nokia phone. I don't understand why he couldn't at least get like a professional photo done.
So who is this woman that they bring in?
The immigration lawyer that they hired. Oh my God, Rob, I just realized what it says on. I just queued it up.
Yes.
On the mug, it says, let me get this loud and clear for you because it's wild. It says, Andrew is the boss in French. Andrew c'est boss. Yeah. So the boss of procrastinating, that's for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a choice. All right. So yeah, back to the immigration lawyer. So they hired an immigration lawyer. Andrew hired this immigration lawyer to get her feeling comfortable about this Serbia move. Now, did you notice that this is very clearly peak 2020. She was using the most bait Zoom background I've ever seen. I was like, yep, this takes me back. This takes me back to May of 2020 for sure. But yeah, what did you think of the immigration lawyer and what she had to say here?
Well, can I just cue up?
Please.
This is big Andrew energy when they get on the call with Andrew. Okay, here they are bringing in the lawyer.
Oh, I made an appointment with an immigration lawyer to talk about the plan to go to Serbia.
Oh, hello.
Hi there. Nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Yeah, it's just like a big, like he's like waving, like he's talking to like a little kid on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I haven't said this before. I definitely have.
It made me laugh audibly when that happened in the episode.
No, he's got big m'lady energy, like big Reddit nice guy, like m'lady, nice guys finish last, woe is me, tip of the fedora to you. So this animated hello definitely fit it right up there. And then, yes, he does deal with kids. He does run the daycare center with his mom. So definitely took work home with him in that sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's funny that they have this conversation with the attorney and they end up with sort of like coming away with two different conclusions where he's like, oh, okay, great. Well, she says that Serbia plan sounds good. So what do you think? We should get this Serbia thing going. And Amira's like, I kind of like the part that she said about, like, let's see, maybe we could, like, push the visa back.
Yes, which obviously that's a big risk. That is something that we had to talk about, me and Liana did. Ultimately, it was like, yeah, there's a big chance that just doesn't work. And then what do you do next, you know? So it's ballsy to go for the reissuance, but also it's ballsy to gamble and hope that you make it through Serbia as well. So that's a problem. That's a problem. I think that ultimately I side with her choice. I think that given the climate, given how they had the near experience, wait it out. Andrew's like, you know, Andrew's not going anywhere. I don't think even if he tries to convince you to do something, he's not going to leave you. So you're going to be fine.
I also think that because Andrew is on camera so little for 90 Day Fiancé, mm-hmm. like I do feel like he comes across as like kind of like manipulative on the show, that he's just like, baby, look, I'm not going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. Baby, this is all your decision. I would not. This is all up to you. I'm totally receptive to any ideas that you have, baby.
You've nailed his verbiage. He does use baby just like that, which is both like great that you can do it, but horrible that he does it for sure. It is definitely his like blanket word for her.
So she's telling him, I think we should push things back. Here's a little bit of that conversation.
I've got to go to Serbia.
Oh, I don't believe that you're going to say it's my fault that take too long.
I will literally contact them tomorrow and I will start on the whole process.
You told me I'm free to make a decision about Mexico. I told you, okay, but I don't have a good feeling about it. I don't want to do it. You told me, okay, fine. And then after you showed me, you were upset.
You're blaming me for Mexico, baby.
Yeah. I mean, everybody is.
Yeah. Not going to lie, Andrew, if you're the one who did the research and you're the one who gave the instructions, you did a poor job because it didn't work out. So, yes, we're blaming you, baby. Stop it.
At one point, he also says, like, baby, you're saying, like, I'm not sensitive, baby. Like,
I'm not sensitive to that information. Like,
yeah. A little bit. And then he ultimately, like, gets off the phone with her. And I feel like it's kind of like a passive aggressive, like, ending to this conversation where he's like, baby, I'll be here either way. You tell me what you want to do. If you decide that you want to be with me, then I'll be here. But if you decide not, then, you know, just know that I love you. Like, you know, very much like, hey, like balls in your court, Amira.
Yeah, no, he is a tool. I definitely is a tool. And I think that there's no way this guy's like, he's going out of his way to make her do what he wants by guilt tripping her. And it's very, very obvious to me. It's sad that Amira has to deal with him, but I look forward to him also doing Jack when she eventually agrees to do the Serbia thing, because let's face it, somehow he gets his way and it's very annoying to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah. By the looks of it, though, next week, Amira's going to push that she doesn't want it. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. We're circling the drain with Andrew and Amira.
Yeah, they peaked when Andrew went dune buggy riding. They really did.
I mean, it's weird. We're seeing like the light at the end of the tunnel with a lot of these stores.
Yeah, it is starting to feel like we're in the second half of the season, which makes sense. We're 12 episodes in now.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're like maybe two, three episodes away from it being over. Don't quote me on this because we could be here for another 2 months. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows with that?
I mean, I'm still having fun. This is the 12th episode of the season. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe that we've done 12 of these.
It's been an incredible ride so far. I've been loving every bit.
Okay, speaking of an incredible ride, why don't we talk about Zied and Rebecca, who go on an incredible carriage ride here in this episode. Zied is going to be working with the dishwasher. I could not tell. Did Zied get the dishwasher turned on?
I feel like I heard it in the background. I think it worked ultimately. I think he couldn't tell if he had turned it on or not, because I don't know what he expected to happen there.
Yeah, but nothing lit up. I was having a hard time. I'm like, I don't know if you got this.
Maybe they added the sound effects in post, because I didn't see a light either. I just remember hearing it.
Yeah. But you know, he's figuring it out in this empty apartment as he's going through it. He said something about chicken with the dishwasher. I wasn't following exactly what he was saying.
I panicked for a second because, I mean, he said, like, you know, in Tunisia, we have this for the clothes, something for like clothes, but not for like chicken. And then I panicked and I thought, is he cooking chicken in there? But then I realized, no, but that would be an oven. Like he has an oven. So yeah, I was like, okay, he means cleaning a dish that had chicken on it or something.
Here, this is what he's saying about this. Here we go.
In Tunisia, for the clothes, something, you know, for the clothes, but for the chicken, no.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. We hope that he didn't put a chicken in the dishwasher. So, all right, Rebecca wants to take Ziad away. I did say to Nicole, I said, why is Rebecca dressed up like Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah, I didn't get this. It's like, was it like, I don't think Carmen Sandiego fits the motif of a horse and carriage or a cabin. Yeah. So I thought that was a choice.
Yeah. But she wants to take him to a resort where they could also potentially have a wedding. That's what's going to happen. Now, the great part of this was Ziad getting to meet the horse. Ziad with the horse, you know, find someone that looks at you the way Ziad looks at a horse, because he was like, look at it. He's great. He's so big. He's handsome. Look at this. Look at this guy. Ziad was so happy to meet a horse.
Ziad's enthusiasm for things in life gives me hope for the rest of us. Like, he just really meets everything with such positivity. But then this horse was on another level. This horse could not have had a better welcome from anybody.
You're so happy.
I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go for a ride in the buggy with Rebecca and Ziad. And Rebecca's like, look at this. Look how much you love the horse. You love it here. Like, we should get married. Let's get married, you know, here. But Ziad is talking about how they should need to have a quicker marriage. So we come back later on. They're in the cabin. We get jacuzzi in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a nice, nice room. And we find out that Ziad needs to be married before Ramadan. First off, Puya, now you were pronouncing that differently last week. Is it wrong when I pronounce it Ramadan?
No, Ramadan is the English way of saying it. Ramadan is just the. You have to add that when you're speaking it in the Arabic.
So I'm caught between, I don't know if it's more awkward if I tried to say it like you, or if I keep saying it the way I'm saying it.
No, you're not. It's not awkward at all. I'll tell you, I get roasted by my Arabic friends when I do pronounce stuff, because like, oh, Puya, you're like trying to keep up. You haven't forgotten like your ways. It's like, no, I still have some pronunciation in me, but no, you can say it whichever way it works. It works.
I want to get it right.
That.
Yes.
So Rob, I did research on this. Yes. I looked it up because I wanted to make sure that I understood why the whole Ramadan factor was a big deal in all this. And it makes sense after I read it. So it's not a thing that is out, like you can for sure get married, but specifically the more in tune with the religion you are. And obviously anyone who, you know, fasts, who follows Ramadan, who like, you know, participates, feel free to add us to tell me if I'm wrong or give me more detail if I'm coming off like I don't know enough, because I would appreciate that. But the whole thing with Ramadan, at least to what I remember as well, is you're trying to be minimalistic. You know, you're trying to like, you know, the whole thing of fasting, part of it comes from you want to try and like, you know, be one with those who are less fortunate, who might not have access to food, who might not have access to water. And like, you know, that there's that part of it too. You're supposed to like be like your most humble self. So like a wedding is a celebration, is a more, if you have the means to together a big ceremony, it's a whole thing. So not doing that, like there have been, I read, like if you just do a simple ceremony, like that's fine. But then obviously a lot of families will just be like outright, don't do it because that's a celebration. Keep that out of this month where we're supposed to like be humbling ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So the part about where then Ziad can't live with Rebecca if they're not married before then.
Right.
Could you explain that?
Yes. Yeah, so for example, during Ramadan, I would never call myself extremely religious. When I would partake, I wouldn't drink, eat, smoke. Like, you don't do any harm to your body. You don't do any, you're not trying to eat. But there were people that would like be like, you're not supposed to listen to music during Ramadan. Like, that is, you're not supposed to be doing that. So there's different levels of how heavy you practice or how you perceive the main things that should be and how they should be followed. So Ziyad, clearly, if they're not married, they're not, you know, binded by holy matrimony, which then would give us the same. Remember the whole Mika and Rebecca situation, yeah, where it's like, oh, these are two people that are not like, they're both like not in the eyes of anybody binded. So they shouldn't be living in the same house. So that's impure, or you shouldn't be doing that. So obviously, like, for example, I believe extracurricular activities between the two of them are already out the window during that month anyways. So then that's where he is at with it. So I think this gave me more of an insight to the fact that Ziyad is definitely a lot more, his family comes from a lot more of a conservative Muslim background than I think what I was privy to and what like my family was privy to.
Yeah. Rebecca is very dug in on, she wants to have a big wedding because she's like, all right, well, I just rushed the wedding with the last guy and look how that turned out. So I want a big wedding. I'm never getting married again. And this is what I want. And this is what I want to do. But also, Rebecca, you know, Ziyad, you know, has concerns too, and also pandemic.
How about that?
So why don't you just get married?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have a party some other time.
Exactly. Did you hear the part where she said, despite the fact that I've been married three times, this is number four. I feel like,
oh, this is four. I thought this was three.
I thought it was three too, but then I listened back. She said three. I'm pretty sure she said three. Mm. If someone can correct me on that, I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like Ziyad's got the right call here. He clearly Rebecca, he loves the horse. He loves the carriage. He loves the jacuzzi. He's vibing.
He'd get married here. Just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he would just like to get the paperwork done so he can, you know, it's clear that he's losing his mind at home. He's bored. Mm-hmm. He hates being alone. So I think for him, it's like, let's get this move. Let's get the marriage done. Let's get all the, you know, change the status and everything so I can work. I can start being a, you know, functioning member of society that will help me. And then we can do stuff later. Like we don't, and I think that's the whole thing for him. Again, I think for a lot of these couples, the person who's moving into America, their family can't be there for the ceremony. So they're a lot less keen to have like a grand ceremony because like who's going to be there on their side? Nobody. So it's a lot easier to just, let's just celebrate our love together. And then we can do stuff later in the future.
Then when they got into the argument about that also, he's like, I feel like he did not really get that hot. And she was like, you're shouting at me. I was like, oh.
Like, is that the Ziyad yell? Because that's a very pleasant yell. Like, I would love him for him to yell at me. Like, that was calm.
Yes, yeah, so I wish I was married to Ziyad if he's going to yell like that.
Right?
It's nothing.
So cool.
It's nothing.
So chill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else with Rebecca and Ziyad? And look, I can understand why Ziyad might not want a big wedding. I mean, we've met many members of Rebecca's extended family.
Yeah, something doesn't scream welcoming with them for whatever reason. Like, does Ziyad really need Rebecca going up to him every time someone congratulates him to figure out if they're like flirting with him or something? No, that would be awful. Also, yeah, again, like just if anybody has better insider knowledge on the whole marriage and Ramadan thing and they want to share it with us, I would really appreciate that because, you know, I would like to learn more in instances like this. But yeah, did they have a next time on? Let me quickly look at that. And they did. They have about 2 weeks deadline until they can get married under Ziyad's timeline, not the 90-day timeline. So I'm excited to see what happens there. Let me keep it 100 with you, Rob. There is no way Rebecca doesn't buckle and marry Ziyad in those 2 weeks. Like,
yeah, come on. Come on.
He's here.
He's a prince.
He moved.
Yeah, come on, Rebecca. All right.
Okay.
Let's talk about Yara and Jovi, because I feel like that for Yara and Jovi, we had a lot of conflict over the last couple of weeks, but I feel like this ultimately ended on a, you know, happy note for Yara and Jovi this week.
Yeah, I think them and one of the other couples here, they kind of like ended up on an upswing, which is wild. But yeah, no, with them, obviously we left them at probably one of their worst places where he literally walked away from the interview to be like, no, I am not, I'm not going to stand here and take you slandering my drinking and accusing me of drinking when I was drinking and all that stuff. So I think for where they were and where they ended up here, it was definitely a rise in the stocks there.
Yeah. I do like that he tried to say he was not very drunk at the last episode.
Yeah. No, he was slizzard, as they would say.
Yeah. So yeah, he ignored her. And, you know, it's very hard to not be sympathetic to Yara, where she's like, look, I don't really speak English that well. I'm in a new place. I don't know any of these people. I'm pregnant. I'm uncomfortable. And you completely left me for abandoned.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how does Jovi not get this through his thick skull that he's already not been the most model father to be in the past? He has not been a model partner so far. And he just reeks of like, booze. Oh, if there's, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, if there's a drink, I'm going to sink. I'm going to go. That's him. He definitely dips out at the sight of it. And like, I didn't see any part. Because I mean, let's go back to the conversation about getting invited to a party where you're friends of a friend. Like, I'm sorry. I'm probably likely going to stick to the person I know and hope for them to like introduce me to people and make me feel welcomed here, because no one else is going to do that for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
All right. So Yara is saying like, look, you can drink sometimes, but like on a special day, not every day. I mean, this seems reasonable.
I mean, it's not a big ask. It really isn't. Like, if anything, it makes drinking feel a little bit more rewarding. Would it not? Like, I feel like right now we're at a point where with him where he's like, man, I woke up at 10:05 and not 10:30. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, let me get a beer then to like steal that 25 minutes back. Like, the barriers to reward are so low. I don't think it's a big ask. And I don't think it's a big ask. I mean, listen, I've not been in a position where I have been with someone who is carrying with child. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about like, I'm assuming, Robin, I think you can speak to this. These are small compromises you can make. If they're like, listen, I can't have it, you can't have it. Like, I feel like there's middle ground there that mm-hmm. can easily be found.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. You feel like she was saying like, hey, I like to drink too, but because I'm pregnant, you know, you should cut back on your drinking too. Like, hey, we're in this together.
Yeah. Cause she said, while I'm pregnant, stop drinking to support me. And he responded with, well, I had one drink one time. I was mm-hmm. like, come on, Jovi, mm-hmm. what's one drink worth 50? Let's be real. Yeah. Like, I think, and I think ultimately her thing was like, I think that was like a blanket, like those are bigger statement and exaggeration. I just think she wants the compromise of like drink once a week, twice a week, even mm-hmm. the weekends, pick something, but like not every day.
All right. They're at Monty and Gwen's house. I do like that Monty was also so slizzard. He really could not remember anything from the party either. The apple does not fall far from the tree.
Like father, like son, these two.
Yeah.
Yeah. He barely remembered the news they broke there.
Yeah. He did remember that. Like, he did remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I say that they made the right strategy with leaving Monty to like episode 8 mm-hmm. because I hate Monty. And like, he's not on enough for me to have this feeling about him, but I just don't like him. I just really don't. So I'm happy to not to see Jovi Sr. a lot.
Right. He has come in and made Gwen seem like that she is potentially in the running for top mother-in-law on the series.
Yeah, I mean, we should contact the Terran Awards for that category. I think Gwen would be in the running. For sure, Gwen would be in the running. Because, Gwen was not on my radar at all. And, like, now I'm like, Gwen is a peach. And I love Gwen. So.
Yeah. So she's still happy. She's very happy about this. Jovi kind of puts his foot in his mouth when he talks about feeling about the pregnancy. He's got like, oh, shite is his feeling about it. And Yara is like, that's how you feel? You feel, and he's like, what, you don't feel like, oh, shite? And she's like, no, that wasn't how I was feeling about it.
I mean, again, another misread from another one of these soon to be husbands on this show. Mm-hmm. Jovi, like, how do you not get this? Like, she was clearly happy when she told you that she was pregnant. Like, how have you not realized this 4 days, 5 days, a week in that she's keen on this? So for Jovi to act like that after they've given the news is big yikes o'clock for me. Mm-hmm. But am I shocked with Jovi, Rob? I don't think Jovi can do anything to shock me anymore.
Oh, wait till next week.
I stand to be corrected. We'll see.
We'll get there. They're talking about the wedding, and I think that Yara really wants to go to Vegas to have this wedding and just have it be them. Gwen is not happy if she is not going to be invited to the wedding. I get this also. I feel like that this is, I don't know. Does Jovi have a brother or sister? Is Jovi an only child? I think she, you know, I think Gwen said I have another grandkid. So I think that he must have brothers or sisters, but we have not met them.
That's true. Okay, investigate. Yeah, we haven't met them. I think that, yeah, I mean, all again, let's go back to the conversation. We're in the virus days right now.
Yeah.
A timeline in this, both in real life and in this part of the season. And let's just get the paperwork done. Jovi is very clearly also on a timeline, not similar to Zied in the sense that Zied's is a religious bound one. His is a work bound one, and he's not going to be there in a couple weeks. So they've got 2 weeks for themselves to sort it out before he leaves. So I don't think that it's a big ask from them. I think Gwen knows that she got away with a bigger party than she was allowed to last night. So how about you deal with a compromise? You had your whole family here for this one. Let them get married quickly and on their own accord and let them spend that time together.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yara and Jovi are going to go out and explore New Orleans a little bit. And we get some really great commentary from Yara about the city of New Orleans. They go out and the only masks we see on this show are Mardi Gras masks. And Yara has some questions for Jovi about, yeah, but why? Why does any of this happen? Why do you wear Mardi Gras masks? Why do we do any of this? Jovi does not have those kind of answers.
He hasn't a clue, Rob. He really doesn't have any clue as to why this is happening. And like, I mean, I don't either because I'm not well versed in the story, but it's, you should know why that's happening. You know, you go to get Slizzard. Maybe you learn why you're getting Slizzard. I mean, like, I love a drink as far as the next guy, but I'll know what I've signed up for. It's like, oh, it's anything but clothes party. Okay, I get it now. Like, give me the history. Tell me why.
Yeah.
So I don't get that from him.
So the closest that Jovi can get is that it has something to do with religion, to which Yara has a very good follow-up question.
Only meat on Fridays.
Wait, okay, they are religious. What is about religion when you get drunk as and then you go into pray to the church? That God help you.
Good point, you know.
Not a bad thing to say. Not a bad thought there from Yara.
So they're talking about like, well, what are they going to do? Where are they going to live? Jovi is like, hey, well, we still have, 9 more months on this lease. So we can't go anywhere. I guess we're locked in here. And like, what are you complaining about anyway? Yara is like, well, there was nothing wrong. My life was fine in the Ukraine. You brought me here.
Amazing.
Yeah, but you're here.
Because you here, I come for you, which is like hard to understand. This never was my dream.
In
this greatest country in the world, where people shooting each other, a woman in the street and getting drunk. No, really, Jovi, you know me.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, Yara.
I mean, she said some things that it's kind of like, hey, cheers. Like, I hear you.
Yeah,
hear you.
I mean, she had her shoes thrown up on.
That's true. We still didn't find the culprit to that one. I'm not fully unconvinced that Uncle Bo moved to New Orleans, but we'll figure that out later. We'll leave that for the detectives.
Could have been a stylish man ever, Uncle Bo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, they end up on a nice note. It seems like that for this is like the highest that Yara and Jovi have been in a couple of weeks in the rankings that couples without a lot of problems.
Yeah, they kind of like they were in the pits for a couple of weeks there as one of the worst ones. But no, it seems like there's at least a switch in Jovi's head that has gone on a little bit.
Yeah, you know what that switch is called, Puya? It's called not being drunk.
Yeah, it's again, when you set the bar very low, Rob, it looks like you're clearing a big one, but you're really not.
Right. When he's drunk, he's a complete a-hole. And when he's sober, not as much.
Yeah, he's like a little a-hole. Yeah, definitely. Just a little bit, just a pinch. I know. And here's the thing, though. This was the best. Let's build him up to then like crash the Jenga board down. By the time we look at the next time on.
Yeah.
Because I can't effing believe what I saw there.
Yeah, what the hell is going on next time? Is he having a bachelor party in the next episode?
Oh, yeah. And like, this isn't like, oh, poker with the boys. This is like, He said, and I'm quoting, I'm going to put an end to the, like, this is a farewell to the old Jovi. Yeah. And he's going full blownsies with the strippers and the drinks. And
yeah. First off, like, I don't know a lot about bachelor parties that nobody invites me to bachelor party. I didn't even get invited to Stephen Fishback's bachelor party at Disneyland, famously. But I'm pretty sure, like, the first rule of bachelor parties is no cameras. I feel like that's sort of like I guess it's Jovi's bachelor party, and the cameras were following him. So I don't know. But this seems like a bad call on Jovi's part of like the, hey, let me go back to my old haunt at the strip club and let's bring the TLC camera crew in here. And then the owner's like, oh, Jovi, our best customer, we're going to send you back to the champagne room.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the way to end, like, no one grand finales. It's not like when I quit smoking, I wasn't like, but here's what I'm going to do first. I'm going to buy a whole carton and I'm just going to go freebies for the weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how you do things. Like, you're not supposed to do that. So, it's very clear Jovi's never really needed a reason, but this is a great excuse for him. I think he thinks there's a defense of like, listen, it's American culture. It's a bachelor party. I'm devoting my life to you. This was a one night only. But like, here's the worst part is I don't think he's good. Like, that's really a one night only. And it's not great. I don't think Yara's going to love any bit of this. And if I had to bet, I would assume that we're going to see Yara react to this on like Bears, 90 Day Bears All or something. I think we're going to get Yara's take on this immediately. So I'm very excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, all right, let's talk Mike and Natalie and then we'll finish up with Stephanie and Harris. Okay.
Yes.
Boy, the Mike and Natalie story, it's same shite, different week with them. We will say that Natalie is like at least like going for like a Hail Mary here of, okay, so boy, I got about 3 weeks left until the clock runs out. Maybe I can convince Mike things are good so we can, get married.
Yeah, I gotta say, first, right out the gate, I'm loving your Irish implementation of the word shite into the podcast. It's really pleasing me. I really do enjoy it. So yeah, literally 22 days to wed here. She's on the phone with her friend Svetlana, and she makes it seem like Svetlana was like the breakthrough she needed because she changed her tune like that. Mm-hmm. She went from, Mike needs to stop eating butter. He needs to stop eating steak. He needs to lose some weight. He's a dumb village idiot, ugly guy. Uncle Bo is more stylish than him. All of this to, and he cheated. Let's not forget the last thing was he cheated on me. And he's not excited. He didn't give me back the ring. All of this to, I'm going to be forgiving. I'm going to forget. And I'm going to apologize and then go to a new page with him. I couldn't believe this was the biggest shock of this episode for me because you could change your tune this quickly over one call with Svetlana. Like, your connection couldn't have been that strong and the breakthrough couldn't have been that big for you to get here. It baffled me.
Yeah. Natalie does run a little hot and cold. Like, I think that she realized like, hey, I need to get over these issues, like whether or not she still feels like that Mike cheated on her. You know, she sort of like has the breakthrough with her friend and she, she talks about she wants a child. She has to, overcome this resentment. She's not it seems like that maybe she's not even in it for the right reasons at this point of like, it does not seem like, hey, you know what? I love Mike so much. It's like, I want a kid and, I need to, like, I've come this far. I want to get my ring back. So let me play nice with Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it, isn't it? Like, I think ultimately she doesn't want this trip to have been for nothing. And she wants this, like, I think she realizes ultimately that she wants to be in this for the long haul. So either they sort it out, get married at least, and then reopen all the wounds and talk about them if you're trying to find a resolve. But you can't be doing that if you don't get married. And clearly you're not going to get married by being the way you are and like having both of you being in the same place you are right now.
Yeah. All right. So Natalie, basically she comes to Mike and is like, I'm sorry. We need to move on from this. We should move forward. But Mike did not seem super receptive.
No, the hand holding felt weird. The kiss felt weird. Mm-hmm. It just felt like she was on him. He was not willing to be there at all. He just kind of like yeses it and moves on to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mike's like, I think you're leaving. And we're still not engaged, just for the record. Like, I still want you to go home.
Yeah, Mike had that idea of like, oh no, it's not working. Mm-hmm. Right, what do I need to do? All right, next week I'm going to tell her that I don't want her and then see if that works. Like, Mike is so out of this, Rob, so out of this, that even when she apologized, he was like, that's not enough. And that's all we've been thinking he wanted. But no, there's definitely more here that needs to be repaired with the two of them. And
this is beyond repair. This is just wrap it up. Rob,
literally, she's getting on a plane back. There is no way she's staying in the U.S.
What has to happen? Like, they're definitely getting into another huge blow up before she leaves.
She has 22 days, right? How many days? Because I feel like they started accelerating this a little bit. How many days? How many more episodes do they have? Again, I think 22 days, probably like three.
Yeah. This is like a boxing match where like the referee needs to like cut it. Call him. Call it.
throw the towel.
Yeah. Throw the towel. This isn't happening. This isn't going to happen. They don't even like each other.
No. And I would not like. There is nothing that is worth going through this kind of thing with somebody. There just isn't. Like, she's not happy. They've clearly discovered that there's going to be stuff that he's not willing to budge on and she's not willing to budge on. So why are they lying to themselves? Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing's worth that kind of time at all. Mm-hmm. So get rid.
We'll see where it goes from here. But I have to imagine like we get one more like full on like knockdown, drag out battle between Mike and Natalie. And it's not necessary. They're over. We're like, it's done.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, they are gonna have a couple more arguments before they head on out.
Yeah,
And it's gonna be rough. I just love that all their fights happen outdoors. Like, of course they do. Mm-hmm. Like, this next fight is gonna be, their next conversation is gonna be in the woods, and then the fight is gonna be in the house again. But she in the preview says, "Do you forgive me that I gave you the ring back in Kiev?" And he says, "No." So
he doesn't. That's it. It's over. Yeah. It's over. And I hope they both meet somebody nice because of the show. But this is not working, Mike and Natalie.
Yeah.
I've never seen two people that are more wrong for each other.
We've discussed their DMs. Their DMs are going to be filthy full. But like, this isn't it for them. Like, they should move on.
I have no doubt that I'm sure there is some guy out there watching the show like, oh, Natalie. Oh, what? That's the person for me. And there's some woman that's watching the show like, boy, if I could only get with Mike. And maybe this all has a happy ending, but it is not with Mike and Natalie. Natalie is over.
Yeah, Natalie's over. Mike's over. They're all over. Move on. Put Uncle Bo on the single life 90 day if you want this family involved. But like, these two are done.
Who
with
would be
show.
Better on the 90 day single life? Who would you rather follow, Mike or Natalie?
Not gonna lie, give me Mike because
I say Natalie.
Really, I don't like Mike whatsoever, but I would like to see what kind of beer drinking, steak loving woman will be with him. Mm-hmm. And like, is he going to find someone who's into aliens? Is he going to find another Natalie type?
Yeah, the alien thing, we really just dropped that. We never talked about that anymore.
And I'm bummed. Bummed out on it. I just want to find, the female Mike through this Mike story.
See, I think Mike is actually the less interesting person of the two. I feel like that Natalie going on dates with the person of like every new person she meets, going through the like, what is that? That is hamburger. why don't you eat a carrot? Like, what, really? Just like going through like all these different conversations with like different people that she's going to meet. I feel like that Mike would just be kind of boring in terms of like him going on more dates.
But with Mike, you get the Uncle Bo will move back in once that's
true.
Leaves.
Wingman.
So yeah, you have the side story there.
Okay. Let's talk about Stephanie and Harris, because speaking of like time to throw in the towel, this is my take on Stephanie that like, I think that the show needs to step in and they need to pull her out of the show, that she needs to be like medically evacuated from 90 Day Fiancé because she is not of sound mind. I do not think that this is let me be more sensitive. But this is that I do not think that she is making good decisions anymore at this point, where, you know, that there's no like, hey, Ryan and I are over, but, you know, cousin Harris, I might as well like explore that while I'm here.
Yeah. Like, this is wild to me. Like, why? I can't believe that we just swiftly swapped to Harris and Stephanie, and that's a storyline now.
In the history of the show, you're a 90 Day Fiancé historian. Has there ever been like a couple that has split and then a new suitor came into play and we were following that story?
So, yes.
Maybe I will marry this person.
So what happened was in 90 Day Happily Ever After, which, given the name, they follow up with 90 Day couples of seasons past. They followed Colt and Larissa, who were essentially divorced and were in the middle of their divorce and were just meeting new people. And they were both on the show, but with like separate people. So they've done similar things before, but I don't recall. And I'm sure someone who's better at this than me on the historian front will pull up receipts if they need to. But essentially going from a Stephanie and Ryan to Stephanie and Harris like this, no. And I just, there's something wild to me about the fact that Ryan and Harris are cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he left and she was like, instead of leaving, because I'm sure she can just get a flight out, she was like, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to go the Andrew approach. I'm going to enjoy my time in this resort. But let me call up Harris and see what he's up to. And let me tell you, Harris flew. He took
6 hours.
6 hours. He took a 4-hour bus ride and a 2-hour was a boat ride over. So the man was committed to be there for her, and he got there. Mm-hmm. He got there real quick.
Yeah. And I thought that it was going to be like, oh, she needed like Harris's help. But it's like, okay, well, Harris, you are now the new person I'm going to spend my vacation with.
Yeah. Yeah. And they went out of the way to say like, you know, he's a good friend. He said she's a good friend. She said he's a good friend. I'm like, I feel like they're going to rekindle. I have a feeling they're going to rekindle. It feels like it's going that way because clearly Harris has been talking to her about Ryan being no good for her. Mm-hmm. So I think he's been working that angle.
Point taken, Harris.
I mean, listen, we met Ryan. We know he was a D-bag. That is case closed. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see Ryan again for good reason. Did you notice the lipstick purse that Stephanie was rocking?
No, what was it?
It was literally a purse that was shaped like this big. Like, you can't see my hands, but it's like a full hand worth. Square based, and then with like a pink tip. Very much like, literally think of like a big lipstick, and it was a purse.
Yeah.
So that is a thing that happened.
It's wild. That's wild. You know, we talked last week about the trauma that she went through with everything with Ryan and the seriousness of that issue. I just think that, you know, she's been through a thing. She's not making good decisions. Like, at some point, like, does the show like, hey, let's like, look, I know this lady is giving us like, you know, she was giving us some really good stuff, but like, at some point, like, I think we just gotta call it. Like, this is, you know, we've got enough. We've got, I'm hearing on like on the walkie, we've got stuff going on with Brandon and Julia. We've got a season here. Like, let's, you know, wrap it up here with Stephanie.
Yeah, I feel like they could have called the curtains easily. Cause I mean, now with Harris here it's just, you were reliving the stuff that happened with Ryan, right? And the show has to continue covering it. So that's going to keep coming up. So from a production perspective, I'm surprised with the choice, but also like, they're trying to fill up their content, right? They're trying to go out of their way to fill up as much as they can. And I just don't know what else is left here, right? With them. So is it just going to be a pleasant 2 weeks? Harris is there chilling with her. And then she, like, the next episode she flies back and that's it. That's over. Like, I don't see much storyline progression unless like Ryan and Harris get in some kind of argument, which I don't think is going to happen. I hope he doesn't come back. So, I mean, it's very clear that based on the next time on, She's still there for next week, so that's the thing that's going to happen.
Just feels very weird that we're going to go on dates now with Ryan and Stephanie. I mean, like, is this just like supposed to be, are we supposed to be feeling like this is like a platonic relationship? Or, I mean, it seems like that, you know, this these are like dates now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, like she, then the next time on, she says, I'd always wondered what it would be like for Harris to be in the United States with me. And Harris was like, yeah, I'm all ready to be over there with you, Stephanie. Like, so like, it's, it, I think it's like a one for one swap by the, at this point with them.
It's wild. Which is, it's yeah. I don't even absolutely know what we're doing. Wild. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing anymore with Stephanie. All right, Puya. Were there any other questions you wanted to hit from the question from the patron Facebook group?
So let me give it a check. So, of course, every week we will try. I will try to post a post for the question thread. If you have any questions, you can also send them to us on Twitter. You know, at Rob Cesternino, at Puyaism. We always enjoy those. I mean, we kind of did end up tackling everything. You know, Hudson here said, how many oofs does Tariq get for setting up that call with Minty? I'm calling it a 10 oofer.
10 oofer. I didn't know the scale went that high.
I know. It's a double fiver, basically. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Kathleen said, there's really no furniture in Rebecca's storage unit, is there? So, yeah, another week, no, another episode.
Only one woman had a truck. That was it.
The only truck in their city. And she said no. She said no, thank you. Mm-hmm. But no, Rob, the beauty of it is like Jessica touches on the mask stuff, which you did mention as well. We talked about the date stuff. Kareem says, is Brandon not totally crazy for once? Should grooms have scorching hot takes about one white dress in a sea of other white dresses? Mm-hmm. Now, I can speak for myself only. I definitely don't think I'll have the facilities to look at multiple dresses and then have various takes, but I'm also not really, you know, don't got the fashion sense, don't understand what's good, what's not. I can only see my partner in the dress and have feelings about that, which we have discussed in nauseam at this point of like, Brandon is an idiot and clearly didn't even have that filter on where mm-hmm. like, you know, so I think that Brandon's a dummy. What else do you want, Kareem? It's really, he's just the biggest dummy.
It just was a matter of that, even if he doesn't care, like the Julia has had so little since she got here. Mm-hmm. This was one thing she was genuinely excited about. Like he could have mustered up the enthusiasm to, you know, get a little hype for the dress.
Yeah, just a little, but we weren't asking for a lot.
Doesn't have to no sell it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not hard to do that.
Here's a question from Lindsay. Where is the gaming console Rebecca supposedly bought for Ziad?
I feel like it came up that he played it at one point. He said Xbox in passing, but I don't see him using it enough. I feel like he should be getting way more mileage out of
maybe
that.
Maybe she didn't get any good games. Because Hudson, who has been really on the 90-day fiance beat for us, says, remember he told Rebecca's son last week that he played it in his spare time, but he must not have a good game.
She may have bargain binned him. She may have just bought a couple of the $10, $15 ones, which is a mistake. But even then, you could have gotten him GTA 5. Like, I think he'd enjoy that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll find out. Hopefully one day
Zia doesn't like violent games. Maybe something with horses. Maybe she should have gone with like an Animal Crossing. Like maybe she made the wrong call.
Maybe she should have gotten him a Nintendo Switch. That's right. I think he would have actually enjoyed that. I think I would definitely visit his island. Mm-hmm. I would definitely visit his island for sure. Would not visit Brandon's island at all or Tariq's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there we go.
All right. Puya, anything else 90 Day Fiancé?
No, I have not watched the second episode of The Single Life, but I'm very excited to. It's the new show that's only on Discovery Plus, but that's the thing I'm finding, Rob. I think in the next couple of months, maybe in the next year, we're definitely hitting this place where a lot of these streaming platforms are going to move their shows to exclusively their own streaming platform, which is going to make it very hard for everyone to keep up with the content. But if you've been enjoying the 90 day stuff, I do believe at some point they're going to have the entire 90 day catalog up there. So that's good for the drawing. But they really outdid themselves with this cast of idiots for The Single Life. And I will recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, I am looking forward to getting a chance to check it out.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about it at some point. Other than that, Rob, the season is starting to come to a close by the feels of it. I do think this episode especially, we're getting to the end of the wedding talks. I think sooner or later we're going to see the ceremony start to happen one by one. But I think there's still a little bit more fuel in the tank, and I'm excited to see where they take us.
I hope so. Okay. All right, Puyo, what else do you have going on?
Let's see. So Masked Singer will be coming back in about 10 days time. So I'll be talking about that with the amazing Liana Boris, of course, over on the Masked Singer Wrap Up Network. Mm-hmm. And then Big Brother Canada is literally around the corner, and we'll be talking about that. Yeah. Very excited. Very excited. The preseason has been nothing short of wild with what's been
wild
going on.
Wild ride. Yeah. Wilder than a horse-drawn carriage.
Definitely wilder than the beautiful horse that Zied met this week. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as is usual fair with myself, I do stream on Twitch 3 times a week, 3 to 4 times a week, twitch.tv/PuyaIsm.
Okay. All right. Of course, I mentioned at the top of the show, Puya joined us on the match game this week, which was a lot of fun on Robin and Kivanita podcast. Even if you don't always check out that show, that was a fun one to watch. Be sure to check out the video. I caught up with Todd Herzog over on the latest Talking with T-Bird, the winner of Survivor China. Had a lot of fun talking about the we didn't talk about Tariq's music in this episode, but we talked about the Survivor musical moments with myself, Mike Bloom, and Jenny Autumn on the latest Outwit Outplay Outlist. I rounded out our coverage of Pirate Master with Jordan Kalish and Aaron Robertson this week. Talked about the 33rd best season of Survivor of Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers last week. And this week, I'll talk about the 32nd best season of Survivor Ghost Island. I'm just about up to the merge in my rewatch of Survivor Ghost Island. And I'll be talking with the aforementioned great Liana Boris. And also, Phil T will join us. And very excited about that on Wednesday night. So be on the lookout for that. It's the start of a new month. It's a great time to check out everything we have going on over on Patreon. We have our patron podcast feed where I do our exclusive Survivor feedback show on each season that we are recapping every single week. Can't get to all the feedback questions in the show, so I do a special show every week on Patreon, plus Patron 5 for 5 and all the patron activities that we do every single week. Find out more information over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for watching. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.